If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
When we have that creepy little opening with the Death Wish music and the Wyatt Six winning the tag titles in the same span of time, I'm getting a little haunted over here, guys. What's going on? It's Kate with your SmackDown post show. This one's going to be a quick one because I'm also doing your ROH post show shortly after this with SP3. And quite frankly, not like a lot to talk about to do with this SmackDown, but we're going to cover it all. For you, please do get in your super chats and humper chats. This is 7-Eleven. I hope you got your ices
tonight. Oh,
did you forget?
I'm a busy person. I should have known today after I left that Superman viewing. I should have gone.
Good news, though. If you have like $5, you could just go get one anytime.
And if you have T-Mobile, you get a free Slurpee every Tuesday. So.
Do you really? Look at that.
Yeah, yeah. You use the T-Life app and you get off. They give you like all kinds of free stuff all year round.
Come for the SmackDown review. Stay for the T-Mobile promotion.
And if you're a person like me who is a New York Yankee fan and lives outside of the Yankee area, T-Mobile also gives you the MLB package for free every single game.
Okay, they don't sponsor us, though. Don't give them too much real estate.
Sorry. But yeah, so I get to watch my Yankees all year round without a problem. So,
my goodness, guys. This is your SmackDown review plus T-Mobile benefits for July 11th. We're going to talk about everything that happened tonight. The Street Profits dropping their titles tonight to the Wyatt Six. Jelly Roll rolling in. Starting a SummerSlam program, it looks like. We're going to talk about all of that and more. We have so much content for you guys this weekend. We have the ROH post show. We have your All In post show. We have your Saturday night's main event post show that'll be hosted by Joel Pearl. We have your Great American Bash post show that's probably going to be a Sunday matinee with me and Alex Blowski. And you have me and Cresta hosting your WWE Evolution review. And then it all just starts up again. Sean Ross Sapp is in Texas. He's going to be chiming in with news and notes. FightfulSelect.com already has your scoop skis up and rolling. So much happening on FightfulSelect.com. But we're going to get into all of that and more. Please do leave a thumbs up on this video. 185,000 of you, I think 86,000 of you now, subscribe to this YouTube channel, which is unbelievably cool.
That means 183,000 of you don't subscribe to me. So
it's
very
true.
Upsetting, heartbroken. I'm resigning.
It's painful. It's painful. Speaking of painful, a lot of this episode was not great. We're going to get into all of that and more.
You said
a lot of people kind of sharing that sentiment. Anthony Velasquez saying, wow, I did not like this show. The booking decisions were baffling. Why is Black losing to Truth? Why is Six didn't need to win the tag titles? Why is Solo losing to Jimmy? We're going to talk about that in a minute. I hated everything about that Jelly Roll segment. I am in agreement with a good deal of what you said. But Taylor Cannon saying, good evening, Alexis and Kate. Great to see you both again. Hope you are doing well and ready for this crazy weekend of
wrestling. When did you see me?
So we will say Taylor was supporting us on my own YouTube channel at Miss Kate Fabe.
That was a softball, by the way. I know.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. It's like I'm a professional or something, by the way. Friends,
my goodness.
You want to support me? Go to my Cash App.
No, we have the Ricky Bobby of it all with you. I did have Alex on to talk some all-in predictions on my own YouTube channel. But what's funny is a couple of days ago, I did a video on Monday that was about how it feels like a lot of the bad habits that they got rid of when Vince McMahon was booking WWE have snuck back in. And you look at today's show and you see two roll-ups for wins. One distraction roll-up that made Aleister Black look so stupid. And I feel vindicated in that video. I feel like maybe I was onto something. So head over to my own YouTube channel for that content. But my goodness. Anthony Velasquez said, going to stick with AEW all in tomorrow. WWE did nothing to make me want to tune into their show tomorrow. No women's matches on that show. We do have the entire Evolution PLE around the corner. But I agree. There is not much that's appetizing on there at all. Does make you wonder, I don't think they're going to do it, but do you think that they have a Shock Goldberg win just so that there's something like a sign of life on that show?
I don't know, man. Like, why would you want to do that to Gunther? You know, like, it would make no sense. Right? I agree,
but I would say there's a lot of things that haven't been making sense around here. Gut instinct is that they will wait until SummerSlam for Seth to cash in. Like, I think Gunther only loses to Goldberg if Seth is cashing in right away. But I think they want the callback to Seth Rollins cashing in, making it a triple threat. Like, I think they're going to want to do that. So I think it's just going to be a weekend of really flat programming for WWE, unfortunately, because if you're getting a counter program, you would hope people would put forth more of an effort than what we've seen. More dissatisfaction from the chat, kind of making me feel better because I don't like to feel negative on stuff, but the whole chat is like, what are we doing? Let's do a stupid music segment to shoehorn in more buzz for Saturday night's main event the week after we switch back to 2 hours. On the go home show of a women's only show with a half-ass build, make it make sense. So we're going to talk about all of this. Thank you for hanging out with us in the chat. I know it's a big, big wrestling weekend, and we appreciate you spending your time with us. Let's start with the Jelly Roll stuff, because that was like the big thing that got advertised. This felt like 90s levels of corny to me. For some reason it was the SmackDown Jelly Roll performed the SmackDown halftime show is what happened. He came out in the show and just put on a concert for absolutely no reason. Other than the fact that they were in Tennessee, which is the whole basis of him and Randy Orton's friendship. Like, he gets interrupted by Logan Paul, who does an all right job with this, like, supposed to be ironic. You're an outsider. You're not here in WWE like me. I'm so sick of all these musicians and influencers from the outside coming in here on everything that we've built. I get what he's doing, but that kind of all falls apart when Randy Orton comes out and points out the obvious. But like, he comes out to defend Jelly Roll and gets blindsided by Drew McIntyre with a claymore. And Logan tries to capitalize, but you have Jelly Roll throwing him across the ring. Gets a huge pop. Jelly Roll's going to be in Randy's corner for SummerSlam. But here's my thing. After he lost to Cody Rhodes, he was hinting about turning heel. Like, he's teased the punt quite a bit now. Are we holding off a Randy Orton heel turn for a frickin' Jelly Roll tag team program against Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul, who in no universe, not even an enemy of my enemy is my friend universe, do I think those two guys are on the same side of something? Absolutely not. You cannot convince me that this iteration of Drew McIntyre would give a single solitary crap about anything Logan Paul has to say or does. And by the way, this whole outsiders not giving credit to real wrestlers thing. I understand Logan Paul's doing it ironically, but Karrion Kross is doing it sincerely. So when you have a parody on top of an act that is like that high level, it doesn't work. That friction is contradictory within your own program. This was awful to me. This was awful to me. And a lot of people like Jelly Roll. Well, did you know he sells that? I understand the business implications of it. I really get it. I think as a wrestling fan, I don't want to see wrestling with the stars. I want to see professional wrestlers going out there and wrestling or sports entertaining. But I don't want Randy Orton, who is a top level talent, wrapped up with this and Drew on the other side. If it's celebrities in their corner, I guess that's a little bit better. But you can't have Randy Orton teasing the punt, hinting at a heel turn as much as he has, and then being like, wait, I have to put that off because I'm Jelly Roll's friend, because Tennessee. That's not a thing. That is bad creative through and through. So I understand the value of incorporating celebrities into your stuff, but it's like, at what cost and at what part of the card? Because we saw it with Travis Scott in the main event of WrestleMania. That did not go over well. This, I'm not understanding why we're doing this either. Like, this isn't great, in my opinion. But I came out of here like a bat out of hell with a bunch of fire about this. It's a long wrestling weekend, people, all right? I'm fired up. Cardoza, talk to me about this. What do you think?
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I understand that you're using a lot of these people to your advantage. You know, you're bringing them into the ring. You're forming these. But they've done this forever, by the way. They've always done this. If you go back, way back, 80s, 90s, 2000s, mid-2000s. Like, this happens a lot. This also happens in new places like in AEW when you got the Costco guys getting involved into something. But it's less there because that's been... Whoa, I just went black. It's been less there.
Oh, my God. The Wyatt Six are coming.
The Wyatt Six. My camera shut off by itself. I didn't touch anything. Huh. I wonder where that's at. All right. Don't worry. I'm going to continue talking. But, yeah, so... For me, is exactly that. You should always have a balance, right? And unfortunately, when I watch WWE, just they do a lot more of that, like integrate all these acts outside of wrestling. And I told you before we got on, I really just want to watch WWE for the wrestling, man. They have some great, amazing, top-notch talent, and that's what I want to watch. Even in AEW, I don't want to watch the Costco guys fighting, let alone in the main card. If you want to keep them to the pre-match,
is what you're saying?
No, they can bring the pre-boom. You know, don't put them on my regular television set.
I'll
leave it at that.
There are so many people that say that of like, well, the Costco guys aren't any better than that.
Yes.
They're on the pre-show. They main event the 0 hour every time they've been on. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case at All In with like the Callis family or whatever. It feels like they're doing a better job of controlling the length of that card in AEW.
Right.
But when you have Travis Scott in the main event giving John Cena his championship and costing Cody Rhodes everything, like there's a very different approach in that. And I don't have a problem with celebrities in
Neither
the wrestling world. And by the way, the leader of that was wrestling trained. Like Big Boom. Is it Big Boom AJ? I don't know which one is which. I think AJ's the kid. I can't remember.
Is
the
it?
The older one.
I think they're all the same. They're all the same to me. No, just kidding. But I don't know, man. I'm not trying to
it's overwrought on the program. Like there's a difference between main eventing the 0 hour and stuff like this, where it's your top talent constantly wrapped up in it.
All the time. Yeah. And listen, don't get me wrong, Jelly Roll, he seems like a cool cat. We could even go out and get like a Jelly Roll and hang out with coffee.
He lost a ton of weight. Like he looked awesome.
Looks incredible. Yeah. Like I understand what he's trying to do. And listen, for these guys, sure, you grew up watching WWE, right? There was nothing else, by the way, people. So whenever it was like, oh, your dream was always to go to WWE. Well, there was nothing else for 18 years. So, it's great to see that.
I will also say, like, It's one thing when Jelly Roll shows up. It's one thing when Jelly Roll shows up and they haven't done anything with Carmelo Hayes for a year.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you're giving roster spots like that away, and I've been watching Grayson Waller, who came in and faced like Edge and Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton, I think, like all of these legends, and just teasing dissension with Austin Theory for 2 years at this point. Like, it's more that. It's more the, what about the wrestlers that are on your roster? Because I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about Aleister Black and Ron Killings, who they still keep calling R-Truth, losing to a roll-up in 2 minutes and 8 seconds. And wow, what an exciting return for Aleister Black so far. Like, come on, man. Come on. Oh my God, Alex is back.
I'm here. I'm still here. I'm just making sure everything's working. This happened earlier. I don't know what happened. I think it's when it gets a little too hot, the camera kind of just gets a little crazy wonky. So I'm just making sure everything is good. And you guys,
I think it's the Wyatt 6. Maybe. I think the Wyatt 6.
You might see something pop up on screen real quick because I reset the camera. But yeah,
I think the Wyatt 6 won their tag titles and now are feeling like they can just come in and they can haunt Alex's internet and they can take over the world. Because this is something that I don't know about the booking decision, but it was a really, really good match. And it was nice to see some good in-ring time in the tag division on here. Because I think when this show went from 3 hours to 2 hours, a lot of people felt a little bit nervous about the possibility of like, what's that going to do for your tag division? What's that going to do for the women's division? Because they were getting highlighted more in that 3 hour format. Now, I don't feel like they did much of anything with the Street Profits raid. That part bums me out a lot. But the match was really, really, really fun. The Street Profits bringing the fight, they bring the swag like nobody can, whether that's in their theme or not. That's what they're doing here. And there was something really fun about Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy and the way that they worked and that they are on the same page about how menacing their demeanor is, but how controlled they are in that. I say that about like in a different way, but similar. Samoa Joe to me is so much more intimidating because he is unfazed by freaking everything.
Yeah.
That guy has never been rattled or shaken in his life. And Samoa Joe does it with his size and his strength and his power, right? With the Wyatt 6, it's a little bit different, but it's that same thing of like, I am totally fine with the pain that I'm inflicting on you. And there's something really, really haunting about that. So I really love, really, really love that. We get a Doomsday Blockbuster in here and the From the Heavens, and then everything starts to kind of unravel. You have Rowan pulling Ford out of the ring during a pin attempt. Gacy taking advantage and tagging in and powerbombing Ford for the pin. This also did get a little bit hurt by the commercial breaks, which I didn't love. But I really did like a lot of the work in the match. I thought Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy, like, they were just off TV for so long. And I think with such character-heavy acts, people forget, like, hey, these guys can actually really wrestle too. Like that's always been a thing with Joe Gacy and WWE, especially. Like I really feel like he doesn't get enough credit for the worker that he is under everything. So I like that we got to see that side of him. My heart breaks for the Street Profits because it feels like every time they're given something, they kill it, but they just don't have the support from creative and booking to really do anything. And I feel like that ladder match after Mania was incredible. And I think the Street Profits are amazing. So my heart breaks for this, but I am very intrigued by this kind of like overarching story because we see the rest of the tag division kind of falling apart. Like they're very nervous that the Wyatt 6 won. They're all blaming each other. Nobody wants to deal with anything from those guys. So I like that the tag division is put on notice because we've come on here, especially me, have said like week over week, it's just the same permutation of guys facing each other. The creative coming out of this feels really refreshing and new. I just hate that it had to happen this way for the Street Profits because I feel like they didn't get catapulted to where their abilities are or even close. Like I feel like they have such a higher ceiling than creative has allowed for them. Love the aggression from Angelo Dawkins, especially, like him just throwing punches always looks really cool. And being offset by Montez being able to do some just insanely athletic stuff is always fun. So heartbroken for them, but I am intrigued to see what like the SmackDown tag division put on notice looks like. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the booking decision and the match itself?
I think it was fine, honestly. It was getting a little stale. Do you agree or no?
I don't think it was getting stale. I think like a lot of things in WWE right now, it lacked intentionality behind it. I guess you could say that stale. I guess when I think stale, I think it's gone on too long. But in this case, I feel like they never really got to properly get going with it outside of that letter match.
They didn't. You're right. Yeah. So
I understand what you're saying. Like it feels like it was just kind of there.
Yeah. I mean, and also like when I look at the
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable oral spray and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
At the division. It's still the same people. And it's... I feel like it hasn't progressed a little bit.
I think you just... You miss Pretty Deadly. And they're injured. But I feel like your heart is with them.
My heart has always been with them and their mesh half-cut shirts with those beautiful golden clavicles glistening with glitter. Okay? That's me. That's my essence. That's me on Saturday night.
Best team ever.
But yeah, I honestly feel like... was it a cool move? Like, yeah, maybe like you needed to inject a little bit more... a little bit more passion into the tag team division and maybe do something different. The whole vibe with the Wyatts, like in my brain for them, it's always been like what Bray did. It was always dark and intense, right? And if he was out of the shadows, it was for momentarily for those few matches that he had, right? With the bright lights on him. I mean, I even missed the red cage with the red lights. I know a lot of people don't like that.
Well, let's not go that far.
I miss the cosmic bowling match with LA Knight. Like those things like that, you know, they were still his essence, right? With this team, it's more like it's a tribute. It's like a cover band, unfortunately for me, right? So do I get behind them? Sure, it's cool to see and everything, but I'm not invested. And I feel bad that I'm not invested because I should be invested because I like all these people that are involved. But we'll see where they go. They can play the whole mix-up tag teams like the New Day used to do, you know what I'm saying? Where all three of them were tag team champions, sure. And they would just, you know, switch the belt
free
around.
Freebird them a little bit?
Yeah, freebird the hell out of them. Yeah, the freebird rule. And see what they can do with it. But looking forward to it. It's just, to me, it was a little stale for some reason, and it's the same people. It's always the same group of people backstage talking about what are they going to do, right? How are they going to get through this?
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, finally, Motor City Machine Guns and this and DIY have a segment. Like, we've seen that a lot.
Well, but you know, let's not get crazy with the motors, but yeah. It's motors for short, by the way. It's that they haven't proved anything.
The shorthand is motors. I think what I'm more optimistic about is like this freaked them all out. Like this feels like not an umbrella story over the whole show, but over the whole division. And I think that's like pretty desperately needed.
Sure.
My bigger thing is like, what's going on with the Raw Tag Division though? But we'll talk about that at a different day at a different time. Yeah.
Sorry for the long-winded answer. It's just like, guys in the chat, friends, ladies, gents, all kind. I love you all. I just want you to understand this, that when I talk about wrestling, I've been watching wrestling since I was a wee little kid with my grandfather, you know, in the late 80s all the way till now. And I love it. I effing love wrestling. And with something, I know it's predetermined, but I don't give a crap about that. I sit in front of the television every single time with trying to just get away from life and watch this. And when sometimes just don't, like, things don't align, I get up. I can't change it, but I'm allowed to feel something, get upset about it, because I love the products that are out there, you know?
Yeah, and I think people have different, like, it's not taken personally. It's just analysis. And I think, honestly, WWE has gotten a lot better over the past 2 years. And I think the fall off since after Elimination Chamber has been pretty real. And honestly, this sprint of, and I understand the business reasoning behind counter-programming AEW. I don't love it, but I understand it.
Sure.
I think they just spread themselves way too thin. Like with Saturday night's main event, Great American Bash, Evolution, coming out of Saudi Arabia, SummerSlam around the corner. I think they just have an overabundance of programs, and it's just a little watered down. Now, this tag division stuff, I feel like, is at least a little more, like, fresh. And it also, like, the Wyatt Six needed something to come in and look dominant on. You can't have a group that's low-key murderers, not, like, win some stuff at some points. You know what I mean? So I'm glad that they won. I will say, and I'll plug my own YouTube channel.
Oh, here we go. Oh.
I have a video coming up in the spirit of Evolution of 10 women that I think are under WWE employed that should maybe be getting more shine than they've been getting, kind of in the spirit of Evolution of like, who are some women that like I know can show out when given a proper due? Nikki Cross felt like the coolest part of this faction, I think, for a while. And now... It was like, it felt like they were bringing Alexa back in, but then they weren't, and they didn't really know what they're doing with that. So Nikki feels like a little lost in the shuffle, but to me, she was like the most captivating part of this stable, and I love watching her work. So she's on that list, and I would like to see them get her going, whether she like, they call up Tatum Paxley from NXT to be spooky with her or whatever. Like, I want them to make more of a creative effort with Nikki, because I think the world of her as a performer, and I think she was like the it thing in this stable for a while. Every movement she made, you were just like, oh my god, what a little weirdo.
I mean, she's also her whole, I mean, it's a big change, right? She's had, this is the closest she was to her original character. What was that group that she was with? Man, I forget their original character. Nikki Cross. What was it?
Oh my God. Not Anarchy. What the hell was it? Insanity.
This is the closest she kind of, like, the character, like, if it was to be an evolution of what she was there, right? Like, she got bit by a werewolf or something, and now she turned into what she is now. I don't know, right? but
she had, she had a promo exchange with Becky that I'll never forget, where she just unnerved Becky. And it was so good because Becky's the man, and she, I think, had the title at that point of whatever, and Nikki just creeped the heck out of her, but not in our cartoonish way. And Becky was just like so thrown off. And when you have a persona that people just don't really know what to do with, that's such an interesting character to me. Cause they're just like, it's not that I'm not confident in myself, or it's not that you've said stuff that's like, I just don't know what to do with all of this. Yeah. I feel like he's such an interesting character. So I want to see them get back to that with her.
Nikki Astor's my favorite, by the way.
The best. The best.
Almost a superhero.
Almost a superhero. That could have been so great if they gave it legs, but she's also just genuinely one of the, just like one of the loveliest humans that you can encounter in the wrestling industry.
Wrestling.
Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. We don't have nearly as much to talk about tonight because the show is an hour shorter than when we were doing these. But
I love this.
I'm not mad about it. ROH has their double main event situation going on right now with Athena and Thunder Rosa, and then Takeshita and Bandido. I'll have the post show with SP3 after for that. Looking very, very forward to talking some ROH. We don't do it on a weekly basis anymore, but those pay-per-views always show out. And speaking of pay-per-views, as we're in like mid-plug form, I don't want to pay full price for pay-per-views. Do you want to pay full price for pay-per-views?
I don't pay for anything. I'm just kidding. Yes, I don't want to pay
people just full price. Give me stuff. Well, I can tell you how to avoid paying full price for pay-per-views. You just simply have to travel internationally, or at least have your electronic devices do so. And gosh darn it, if there isn't the most affordable and most reliable VPN in the game with Nord and the code FIGHTFUL for you.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
We love NordVPN. It's seriously like of any sponsor that we've had since I've been here, at least, saving our subscribers and viewers so much money because like everybody's trying to cut cords and everybody's trying to find like where to watch what in this crazy world. And it's like with Nord, I can watch everything on Netflix as long as I'm in Canada. Or whatever. You could save money on pay-per-views by going to Lithuania or wherever. And it really does keep all of your devices secure, your router, your phone, your computer. So we've actually been getting so much authentic feedback about how it's been helping our viewers. And I use it. I love it. Alex uses it. He loves it. Like it's of any partner that we've had, they've taken a great deal of investment in us for a number of years now, which we appreciate, but sincerely really helps our viewers. It's kind of like a win-win-win situation, which is always a nice place to be in a partnership. But with all the money you're saving with NordVPN, you can put that money down on FightfulSelect.com, and you can put that money down on some wrestling betting, which we're going to tell you about later in the show as well. But there is a lot happening at All In Week. Sean, is there Scoops threads already up for you? Some news about that Mercedes Moné and Crunchyroll collaboration, which was so cool. I'll let this go from behind the paywall. That was 2 years in the making, that partnership. There was also news about Beast Mortos and him being pulled from StarCast due to CMLL, Red Velvet's injury causing changes to the ROH call, placements of what matches were on when, all sorts of good stuff on the Fightful Select Scoop thread. And also Alex Pawlowski, I'm assuming, losing his mind right now at this episode of SmackDown. I can't imagine there was much of anything that he liked on the show. So if you want the most sour review, head over there. There was a lot that I didn't love on the show as well, but Alex will say so with a passion. With a passion.
With love.
With passionate love for wrestling. We'll put it that way. Speaking of Sean being in Texas, I don't know if anyone's seen it yet, but it's on our social media. And speaking of me and Alex Pawlowski, Sean has, let me be explicitly clear, okay? The guy who is responsible for the financial success of this place and the number one leading Scoops journalist in all of professional wrestling is trying to peer pressure two of his employees into watching Freddie Got Fingered and reviewing it. Okay? Initially, Alex Pawlowski said, it's going to cost you $1,000. I won't do it for less than that. And then he said, if you got me and Kate custom puppets of ourselves, we will do the review with the puppets. But they have to be like high quality puppets that look like Alex and Kate. Jury is still out. We haven't gotten a counteroffer. But Sean's interviewing Toni Storm, the timeless one, and asks her, what's your best worst movie? And she's kind of going through the Rolodex in her head, and she says Master of Disguise, which is the Dana Carvey one of like turtle, turtle, that one. And he says, I'm trying to get my staff to review Freddie Got Fingered, speaking of terrible best movies. Have you ever seen it? And she says, maybe. And the two of them go on to, Toni Storm completely breaks character. And she and Sean just end up cackling about Freddie Got Fingered for a little bit. I have not seen or heard Toni Storm break character like that at all. It is such a heartwarming moment of the two of them just laughing and trying to get it together. It is on our YouTube channel. It is on all of our socials media. I would go check it out, but just was thinking about that as I was mentioning Alex Pawlowski. We will review it for puppets, and we will review it if Toni Storm joins us. I'll say that much.
I'll tell you what. I'm not going to even get into it.
I'm not doing it unless it's like pay my rent money or I get puppets. That's all.
I mean, I watched it a long time ago. It was a different time.
Most people did. Now, Sean is like, he can't believe it got made. And he's like, it's so bad, it might be to the point where it's like ahead of its time. Like that it's performance art.
You can't make a movie like, even you can't even name it that nowadays.
It's true. It's true. I think there's a reason. I don't think that's a bad thing.
You know what? I'm writing a movie tomorrow. And I'm going to have just someone's random ass name got fingered in it.
There you go. See, it'll be a box office smash.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what was not a smash, Alex. Why not did we make Aleister Black look so stupid in this loss to Ron Killings, who said, I'm not R-Truth, I am Ron Killings. Advertising for the show finally caught up weeks after he said it. Commentary still hasn't caught on. This was more of an angle. Truth Killings got in some offense here, but like Aleister Black fires back and tries to use a chair and the ref stops him. And because he's dumb, because there's no other explanation of this other than Aleister Black is stupid. He's been in this industry too long for him to have not learned the lesson right by now. He's like, well, clearly I should just argue with the referee about this, of me trying to use a chair, not in a no DQ setting. Let me just yap at him. Certainly Ron Killings, who is in his 50s and been doing this for longer than a lot of people watching the show have been alive, won't think to possibly take advantage of that and roll me up. 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
I mean, we talk about it when it happens to the ladies, so, you know, Might as well.
Looked so stupid. This looked like little kid stuff. This was bad. I've seen backyard wrestling with better finishes. This was dumb. I'm sorry. Find a better way to tell your story. It's bad.
I don't know, man. I don't want it to seem like I'm just like dragging on this show and what's happening, but there's been, I don't know. They just don't concentrate on the little things anymore. And I understand that even just 3 years ago, things were corny as well. But I don't know, man. I just,
you know what I think has been
I'm speechless. Like, I feel like this whole Ron Killing things has already that candle burned out. All the chants, we want him back, we want him back, and all this stuff. And I honestly feel like that candle's already been burnt out, and we're just seeing the fizzle, you know, the smoke right now of what's left after that. This whole thing, Aleister Black, like, great, you're back. Cool. That's as far as I go with his character.
I think the reason I'm so fired up is, like, to me, match endings especially are the punctuation mark on top of something, right? Like, that's such an important aspect of the story to me. That's why it's so annoying when Jey Uso chokes out Gunther, but Pat McAfee can be in a chokehold with Gunther for like 10 minutes and Gunther taps out in like 6 seconds. Like, match endings to me are the punctuation mark on it. And it feels like they've completely phoned it on that aspect. Completely phoned it on that aspect. And you're right. It's like, just try. Just try. We do get a post-match angle, though, and I'm more excited for that because post-match, Black attacks Damian Priest, who's trying to kind of reason with him. So it feels like we're deepening that feud, and it looked like we were getting Damian Priest and Carmelo chatting at each other a bit too, and we had Aleister Black and Carmelo obviously having interactions. So, like, if that's going to be a triple threat, I'm a little burned out on triple threats, but I feel like that's something that could really, really, really elevate Carmelo Hayes, which is something I've been asking for months, maybe over a year at this point. Like, it's been a long time coming. So I like that aspect of it. I just wish they didn't make him look like such a doofus in the process. Are you into what this might be leading to, even if we're not into what's happening tonight?
No idea. I don't even know, like, where they want to go with this. Like, I don't know.
Kind of need to see it?
Yeah, just let it play out. I guess for me, it's just, this show left me, this doesn't happen very much often. But today's decisions, and I know it's a kind of like a go homey show, but it really isn't, you know. And then you had 2 hours. Could you imagine if this show was 3 hours, and it was already like this for the two?
I was gonna bring this up at a different segment, but I think a lot of people had fears about like what is going to be cut in that hour. And I feel like the tag match and the women's wrestling were a good sign because those are the first things that usually go. And they had a strong presence on the show tonight. But then you see something like this at a 2-minute angle and you're like, we don't need to make way for like really long entrances and shorten stuff this bad. Orion Ben saying, just goes to show that the WWE method of playing these wrestlers for jokes does not work in elevating them later. It sabotages serious runs like the New Day. New Day is a good example. I would say Giovanni Vinci is probably the best example because they were like, what if the angle is that guy loses? And he's a phenomenal wrestler. He was one half of Imperium. He was the work rate guy out of him and Ludwig Kaiser. Now Ludwig Kaiser has come a very, very, very long way. He's grown tremendously in the ring. But like when you were looking at those guys, a lot of times with tag teams, there's the guy that's more character-y and the guy that's more in-ring focused. And they can both dabble in each other's worlds. But like Matt Hardy and Jeff, right? Or yeah. Matt and Nick Jackson. Like when I look at Matt Jackson and I see his facial expressions and his selling, and then I see Nick Jackson and just what he's able to do in the ring, I'm like, that is a cool combination of guys for a tag team. So that's kind of how Imperium was. And then they split him up and were like, what if we had Giovanni lose in 2 minutes? And surprise, surprise, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Hell's Cowboy. My goodness. Are you in hell right now riding around on a horse? Do you know Hangman Adam Page from when he was a heel? Was Hangman in hell as a cowboy? Did you guys hang out? I have questions for you, Hell's Cowboy. The BCC, the Bangs and Clav connection in the house. I'm about to pot roast tomorrow, then all in. Who makes out with the who tomorrow with the ring? I feel like if anybody, it's Toni Storm and someone, right? I'm always for more kissing in wrestling. I think Toni Storm might retain and then kiss Mercedes right on the mouth. I think that's very possible.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't think anyone's going to have a problem with that.
Now that would be...
just love dudes kissing, girls kissing. I don't care. Just put them all on screen.
Have them all smooching. Have them all smooching.
I now, mean, they should have after every match, instead of a handshake, like, good game.
Instead of like honor is real handshakes, you have just smooching. I love
it. Oh goodness.
That would be a fun prop bet, but it's not like you can bet on wrestling, unfortunately. There's nowhere to do that.
No. I've never heard of that.
Nowhere I can think of. I wonder if anybody else knows. I wonder if anybody like left any clues in the hat in the form of like promotional video about somewhere where you could do that.
MyBookie.ag is where Fightful is getting all of our odds, not just pro wrestling, which, yeah, you can bet on pro wrestling. UFC, boxing, that's where we're getting our odds from. If you're watching In the Weeds and they're talking about basketball odds, it's going to be from MyBookie.ag. Use the code Fightful, get a $50 bonus when you deposit $100, or get a $100 bonus when you deposit $200. Check it out. If you think you know more than the average wrestling fan, head over to MyBookie. They have some odds up all the time for upcoming events, whether it be WWE, AEW, anybody. Make sure you check them out in addition to their other fantastic deals. They've been around for quite a while, very reliable. MyBookie.ag, use that code Fightful. Now, only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly, but head over, see what lines they got now. Not just for pro wrestling, maybe you're interested in baseball, football, basketball, soccer, or just football again, right? MyBookie.ag.
MyBookie, baby. We love it around these parts. We love it around these parts. Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats at humperchats.com. We're here all weekend talking all sorts of wrestling as WWE has brought three shows to counter-program all in, but Alex, that's not even the most egregious counter-programming that I've seen, okay? Because Solo Sikoa has this new Bloodline shirt, and this is the design. This is MJF's shirt.
Oh, my MJF. Lord.
New Bloodline shirt. New Bloodline shirt. MJF. Now, on top of this, I'm dyslexic. Do you know how confusing this is for a dyslexic person when you see this? Come on now. This is like when you go to the eye doctor and your prescription has changed the slightest bit and you're like, better here? Better here.
I'm done.
Better here?
Goodbye, everyone.
Better here.
Seriously.
What on earth? What on earth? Come on now.
After we're done with this show, everyone go watch Superman.
We are not done with this show. We've got plenty more to talk about. So keep those super chats and humper chats coming. I got to say, when I saw that, I was like, excuse me. He was in great spirits about it, though. He was like, I am related through Triple H, so I'll let it slide. I love MJF's responses. MJF, by the way,
he said that.
Wait, yeah, he's hysterical. MJF was incredible in an interview with Black Girl Wrestling with Lyric and Danny. I mean, he gave his thoughts on everything from his role in the Hurt Syndicate to his thoughts on Olive Garden to not using the same barber as the Hurt Syndicate because Jewish hair is different than hair for people of color. It's amazing. It's an incredible interview. Lord. It's like 20 minutes long. I would definitely encourage you to go check it out and follow those gals too. Danny Don't Miss and Lyric Wrestling on social media. They're phenomenal people who do great work and are literally just so hilarious. But that interview, fantastic. Now let's talk about something that I did like. This was the first match of the night. You had Roxanne versus Sol Ruka versus Kairi Sane versus Alexa. There was some fun work in here. There was definitely some miscommunication, especially at the ending. But you had Alexa Bliss win in what was a 10-minute match. So it was nice to see. Again, like my concerns were, are tag wrestling and women's wrestling going to get a lot of time? And tonight, tag wrestling and women's wrestling got the bulk of the time, really. Huge, massive Tower of Doom spot that everybody came down in. We got a double soul snatcher from Sol Ruka who almost gets the win, but Raquel puts Roxanne's foot on the rope. So you're seeing them come together as they head into this tag team match. And then on the outside, you had Zarya attacking Raquel and Charlotte throwing Raquel over the announce table and Asuka getting a boot in as well. Mm-hmm. Back in the ring, Kairi Sane drops Sol and goes for the insane elbow on Bliss, but she gets her knees up. And it's not the best Sister Abigail that we've seen from Alexa, but a good enough one for the win here. Some of this was sloppy, but it was kind of sloppy in a way that I didn't entirely mind. Like it was very much a go-home angle to Evolution because all these gals are going to be in that tag match. So we'll see what comes of it. I'm glad people on the main roster are getting to see what Sol Ruka is capable of. And on Sunday, they'll get to see what Zarya is capable of. Because when Zarya was Delta in Australia, a friend of mine who works in wrestling media in Australia sent me a video of like, hey, this is one of the standouts in the Australia scene. This is Delta Brady. Sent me it. And I'm not kidding. 20 seconds in, I was like, she needs to be signed.
This has people worldwide. You know what I'm saying?
Is an attraction. Like, if just wait. Cause like rightfully so, there's been a ton of emphasis on Julia and Steph and all these incoming women's free agents. Zarya is one to look out for the future for sure.
Yeah.
My goodness. She's going to be a powerhouse. What'd you think of our opening match?
I think it was good. Like you mentioned, a couple little quirks here and there. It's live wrestling. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I can go in there and do absolutely anything better. I won't. I'm pretty sure I could probably be picked up by all these girls and get powerbombed. And I'll never get back up again. I will be doing this show from a bed.
It is also like, I was like, oh, this is a four-pack with people who haven't really worked together either.
Correct.
Like, that's always pretty crazy. So
you come into the stadium at 2 p.m. You only get so much time to go over your match. You know, everyone takes a turn or everyone's in the ring together. It's not easy to do this stuff, you know, and these ladies are professionals. So I enjoyed it. I'm good with it.
Oh, man, MJF took that tweet down.
Oh, he did?
It made me laugh. That's a shame. Yeah.
I wonder if that came from above.
Possibly. You know? Possibly, or he's just MJF and was like, let me stir some shit up and then delete it real quick. I don't know which way that went, but either way, it was a very funny response. Let's keep going along. We are zipping through this because we only had 2 hours of wrestling to talk about today. We do have this Trish Stratus and Tiffany Stratton promo. Now, Trish Stratus said in an interview on Busted Open that she's like, not thrilled with how things have been building to Evolution. She said she felt like the last segment that they had last week was boring and she wished that they had more time to do this. We've seen a lot of women's talent being outspoken about like not either being invited to participate in Evolution or not being thrilled about it. Trish now kind of joins that list. Like, she's excited for the match and she wants to work with Tiffany and all these things. It sounded like I'm Busted Open, but she just flat out said, like, I thought last week's segment was boring and I don't think we had enough time to pull this together. So I actually really liked what we got tonight. I feel like Tiffany came out with some fire. I don't think Tiffany is a babyface. Like, that's what I'll say. I feel like she's a born heel because she goes after Trish Stratus and talks about seeing her videos, implying a certain genre from a couple decades ago. And she says that, you know, I beat Bailey, I beat Nia several times at this point, I beat Charlotte. Like, if I beat Trish, I should be in the GOAT conversation. And Trish was like, yeah, I've got nothing to lose because I already am the GOAT and I'll walk out as an 8-time champ. I really, really liked that from Trish because that's like a good way to stand on your legacy without making it feel like I'm just leaning on my past super hard. She's saying present day me doesn't have to really have any pressure going into this week because I'm already one of the greatest of all times. So I actually really liked this segment. I'm bummed to hear that Trish isn't like thrilled with how her program's played out because I want all wrestlers to be happy with their creative no matter what. But I understand why she feels that way. I feel like a lot of people have felt like all of this weekend's programs builds were kind of lackluster and a women's showcase isn't one that you want to be like mid about. Right. What did you feel about this exchange? I thought what we got tonight was super fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. How many, very like
you're trying so hard not to say you just hated tonight's episode and I appreciate that.
I'm a glass half full type of person. I don't, my business in the entertainment industry, I write a lot, I read a lot, there's a lot of stuff I do, and when I like look at stuff like this that they're doing and they're trying to pull off and pulling the nostalgia factor into it, right, I think it serves better if Tiffy was used for something better. You know, like put her, I don't know. This is a wasted opportunity for someone who's in that roster that could really be making a point in their career to show off how really good they are. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a dick about it. It's after 11. I'm just more or less just trying to like really put it out there that unfortunately it makes no sense to me. We don't need Trish, who's really cool. A very great yoga instructor. Still very good looking. I understand that thing. You know, you got to put it on TV. You know, pretty people. But that's it to me. Like, sorry. It's like putting, it's, I think it was Jeff who said it. Jeff Dye, Wrestling Friday. I don't know if you guys have heard of that podcast. He pretty much mentioned that he goes like she is the Goldberg of the women's division, like, you know, and not in the sense of making that comparison that, you know, whatever, he meant that it is in the fact that like his time has already passed and like he was great and we loved him, put him in the Mount Rushmore if you'd like, because he did some cool stuff when we were all younger, right? Same thing with Trish. Now kind of let them do their thing and like let other people, you know, shine, even if they lose. But
I have extensive thoughts to give on Sunday about this Evolution pay-per-view, but one thing it feels like they got super wrong was similar to how I don't need Jelly Roll and like top programs on the men's side. I don't feel like the place for Trish Stratus is probably here. I feel like they have a battle royal. Why aren't your nostalgia pops in the battle royal? Because you're doing this for that. Now, Tiffany and Trish at least have a history, right? They tag together. They've been on screen together several times at this point. So I can at least appreciate that there's something there to work off of. Like, it isn't an out of nowhere program. Mm-hmm. But it's weird that the battle royal doesn't seem like it's earmarked for nostalgia. And unless they're getting someone huge coming back, which would, I guess right now would be AJ Lee. But I'm not going to put my eggs in that basket, but it just feels like battle royals are designed for surprises and pops and title programs should be saved for other stuff. More productive stuff, which I think is is kind of where your head was at.
Oh, yeah. In a positive way, by the way. I wasn't going to come out here and shit on it.
I appreciate that. I've been fired up today because I feel like...
Yeah.
I feel like, especially with Evolution, like when you have a group of people that you're saying, we're spotlighting you because you're underrepresented or marginalized or whatever, and you're doing a show to put a spotlight on them, and then you don't give a crap about the build, you're kind of saying you don't care about that group of people. Like, yeah. When you say, we don't care about this show that we're putting on to spotlight women, you're kind of saying you don't care about women's wrestling at all. Like, when you give no effort, when your whole plan for the show was Liv Morgan, and then she gets injured and you just don't do anything.
Yeah,
that doesn't say a lot. Now, the triple threat between Becky, Lyra, and Bayley has been a very well-cooked program. Like, I will say that. Like, it hasn't been my favorite, but it's had a lot of creative effort behind it, even if it's not been my favorite creative. Io and Rhea, Io was like, I can pick anybody who I want to face, and I'm going to face this woman I've already beat 5 times. And she's probably going to lose because they're going into Perth, and Rhea losing to Io again would just be weird at this point. Feels like they really wasted Io's moment at Mania and her title reign since. But that's more for Sunday. We're going to talk a little bit more about this main event at another segment, and then we are going to get out of here because I'm going to hop over to the ROH side. Yeah,
let's get out. Sorry.
But in the same segment with Tiffany and Trish, we have Naomi interrupting, reminding everybody that she is Miss Money in the Bank, and she is incredible with this character. Like, when she was Feel the Glow Naomi, she's just very likable as a performer and a person, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I didn't imagine, like, the heel side of her being this way. I love this version of her. She is unbelievable on social media with it. She's unbelievable on screen with it. It's so good. But she gets ambushed by Jade and a brawl breaks out because that's the only thing they know how to do for go home segments across WWE or AEW. Honestly, there's a lot of brawls, but we'll see what comes out of this. I'm assuming Jade wins because I think Naomi cashes in at SummerSlam, but that is for Sunday. I didn't love their WrestleMania match to the point where I'm like, oh, sick. I can't wait to see this again. But I'm looking forward to this angle because I think Naomi is one of the top performers in the company as a whole right now. Yeah. Your thoughts on any of this?
I'm with you the same way. Naomi to me is, she's leaps and bounds something that someone that not only I've always wanted to see this side of her, right? And what she is doing right now with this character, what she was doing in the TNA Knockout Division, right? Bringing it over, like going to the oomph degree. I'm so behind her. Like, I want nothing but the best for her.
Yeah, she's killing it. And she's so earned it. She's so earned
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. None of this was given to her, man. Like, even when she first came back, she was put in shitty situations where she was just like, what are we doing? Like, we were questioning every single time that she was on television. Like, what is happening? She was losing
constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And she was losing in, like, oh, so close ways so many times that it was like, are we going to pay this off? And now they are. So,
yeah,
very, very happy for her and very, very happy about that. She's just doing great work every time she's on screen.
Great.
Let's talk about our main event where you're not going to believe this, but somebody wins with a roll-up. Big Jim rolling up Solo Sikoa here, and then Bron Breakker coming out after. LA Knight just can't get rid of the bloodline because nobody in this company can move on from a feud like in under a year. It's insane. There's long-term storytelling, and then there's dragged out storytelling, and we've got a lot of dragged out storytelling going on right now. But LA Knight, eternally over. I get why they stick him in these programs. He's facing Seth Rollins tomorrow at Saturday night's main event, so it would make sense that Bron Breakker would come out post-match and get involved, try and soften him up for Seth Rollins. Like, that all makes sense. Just very predictable and very formulaic. Match was a lot of fun. This version of Solo is really working, and I'll say this, like, Alex Pulowski and I saw Solo in NXT, in the dark days of NXT, in the 2.0 days. And I think we were both in agreement, like, there's something special about this guy. And when he came to the main roster, he was doing good work as Roman's henchman. And then it felt like he got lost there for a little bit. But now that he gets to like have a sense of humor and talk like a person instead of like authoritative and brooding all the time, a lot of people are like, wait, maybe there is something with this kid. And it makes me really, really happy that people are getting the opportunity to see the personality that Alex and I saw, even though he was a face a lot of his time in NXT. There's something very personal about him. So when he's doing this like silly stuff, like this sarcastic, goofy kind of air about him, that's not like in a way that is like surface level, like a lot of, like, it's not the Judgment Day, El Grande Americano, repeat, basic, makes me laugh because it's goofy stuff. Like, it's got some cleverness behind it. It's got some wit and some sarcasm behind it. And I'm really glad he's getting to showcase that. That makes me really happy. So happy about that for him. And this is our main event. This is what we got there. Big Jim rolls him up. He's apoplectic, but all hell breaks loose. So your U.S. champion, Solo Sikoa, getting pinned, which never makes me happy when champions get pinned. But going into Saturday night's main event, that tells you he's retaining this title. And it at least gives you a reason why these matches are happening. what did you think of our main event?
I love when Solo gets to be himself and talk a little bit, you know, instead of, you know, being, I don't know what they were trying to do with him before, you know, kind of like really position him in a place where he's not that person, that character, right? I want Solo to be Solo, like you just mentioned before. He looks so much looser when he speaks, you know, just the way that he delivers and talks to the, to you know, like the way he was talking in the ring to everyone else. Like he was just like, even when wasn't it Paul Heyman left, he's like, where he at? You know, like where'd he go? Like even that felt improvised and real. Like I like that, right? And he has that about him. He has that, he's still a little quirky and funny, but he'll like knock you out type of style, right? As opposed to like Jacob Fatu is just straight fire. Like he's just gonna like talk to you and want to beat you up. So it kind of makes
we don't always get that dimension. I'm glad you called that out because it's usually like you're intimidating and you're going to knock someone out, you're silly and you're Chelsea Green and you're pretty deadly or whatever. So I'm glad you called that out because I like that he has kind of a more fleshed out personality.
He does. He most definitely does. Like he'll look at you smiling, like, but at the same token, I'll be like, I'm not smiling at you. Look at the next person. Be like, I will knock the teeth out of your mouth. You know, yes. I like that. I like that. So yeah, overall, you know, we'll see where he goes. I'm excited that he's totally blind signed by the fact that he was became U.S. champion. But yeah, I like this. Maybe we can see a bigger push for him later on in the future.
I think it was a really good call and gives Fatu something to chase. I like that because Fatu is not a baby face by any means, but he's definitely somebody that the crowd is cheering for. So I like it. I like it. I don't like immediately after winning a title, you get pinned on television. That is
true.
I'll say it. I'll say the word. You want me to say the S word?
Don't do it. Don't do the S word. It's four letters. S ends with a Y. Don't do it.
Silly.
How dare you?
And that's five letters.
I'm leaving. It's five letters, but I say four. I'm standing on damn ground, okay?
Adrian Carpenter saying Super Card of Honor made SmackDown look bad, really bad. I'll say this. The ROH product has been very aimless, but they always show out for pay-per-views. And when you have Takeshita versus Bandido and Thunder Rosa versus Athena in those main event spots, I think like you're not looking at a bad time. Yeah. I'm happy because Sean is at this and his favorite performer in the world in Terry Kondo showed up. So I know he's just getting to be a fan in that moment. And I like that this weekend, a lot of my friends that are in wrestling media get to be fans.
Sure.
Joe Compton said, I'm excited to see how well Jelly Roll does in a match. If it is as it appears, he has three veterans to carry him through the match if need be. Well, I don't know if I would call Logan Paul a veteran, but he definitely knows what he's doing in the ring. Yeah. So I wouldn't say he's like ring general status, but I think certainly Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre being involved in the picture Like, I don't know who else, who better than that? Maybe Damian Priest, because we saw what he did with Bad Bunny, and that was insane. Sure. But I'm glad you're excited, even though I'm not. I love it when people are excited about what they're
saying. I love it when people are happy for I don't like.
I'm
being genuine as well. Like, I don't mind that at all. Like, people should
have the best.
People should have some type of excitement and love for what the things that they, you know, they're watching and putting themselves through.
It's not lost on me that, like, my favorite performer over the past 2 years is Zack Sabre Jr. And there are people that think his matches are like watching paint dry because they look at wrestling for other things.
Sure.
Like, I'm there looking at things that I like about it, of holds and him making up counters that I've never seen before, and him doing a Cobra twist but taking it to the top rope against AR5. Like, there are so many things of the way he tells a story in ring through specifically tactical and submission wrestling that I love. And quite frankly, his TV title reign, when WWE and AEW were both going through a weird time in 2023, like, that TV title reign that he had saved my wrestling fandom. And I know there are people that would go watch those matches and be like, this guy's boring as so I love that about wrestling. Like, you can watch it for any multitude of reasons, the same way that you could listen to metal music or pop music and find joy in it. So don't let weirdos tell you otherwise. Even when I'm the weirdo telling you what I don't like, that doesn't mean that I think you have to then go like it.
Yeah. Listen to her. Don't like it.
Jelly Roll is not a 40-year-old rapper. He's a 40-year-old country artist, I think.
Country rapper.
There's certainly, like, when I hear that guy in interviews, he comes across as extremely authentic and awesome. Like, I don't have a problem with, like, him. I just don't like the way it's being utilized on my screen. So let me be abundantly clear about that. It's the usage. I hate them all. If you're not, if you didn't win the G1, I don't have respect for you.
Wow. Wow, that's really putting it out there. Can someone clip that? Because you can clip things here on YouTube now. Inbox it to me. Send it to me on Blue Sky. I'm putting that in my soundboard, and I'm keeping that forever. And I'm also calling TMZ and my friends over at...
Anytime I'm like, Io Sky is the best counter wrestler in the world, you can just play that clip of like, yeah, but Io Sky didn't win the G1.
Wow. That's like the old, yeah, but who do you ever beat? Like, wow. Friday nights, where if you haven't won the G1, you mean nothing.
No better way to end it than on that, honest to God. Wow. But Alex, when you're not joining me on my YouTube channel, Miss Kate Fabe on YouTube, doing prediction shows with me, where can people find you?
You can find me online being called fat. And to being told to lose weight so that I can stop crying on the internet.
Where can people do that, though? Where can people call you fat on the internet?
Go to alexiscardoza.com, where you can follow all of my side gigs, all of my little projects. If you guys haven't heard to the show, This Is Fine, A Millennial Diary, check it out. They're 5-minute episodes. I'm up to almost 40 episodes. I'm going up to 100 and see where that takes me. Also working on some side projects. Got a lot of big news coming up in the future. I've been presented on That Was Pretty Scary with Freddie Prinze Jr. as well and John Lee Brody. They've been kind of like putting me in there, and I've been doing epilogues to films that we're watching. So I'm having a really fun time talking spooky, going to Walmart tomorrow and Target to go pick up some pumpkin spice latte stuff, because you know it all comes back next month and I want to be stocked up now so that I can be sipping in my boots and my leggings, because I'm fat.
Me all over this channel. If you don't like me, it's gonna be a rough weekend for you at Fightful, because I've got a lot of programming coming up all weekend for you guys here, including the ROH show, which starts in about 7 minutes, so we're gonna get the heck out of here. But I've had like 250 people subscribe in the past 24 hours to my YouTube channel, and it's making my heart sing when I'm seeing people have constructive conversations in the comment section and saying that they're like appreciating the community that's being built around there. So head over to at Miss Kate Faye. But this week I did two videos. One was on habits that WWE kicked out of the Vince era that I think are sneaking their way back in. The other was on three things that I think have to happen coming out of All In for the event to be considered a success. Shock to nobody, Hangman has to beat Mox is certainly on there. And I'll have that spotlight for 10 women's WWE wrestlers coming out on Sunday as well. So head over there for all of that content, as well as predictions I did with this fella. Stay tuned all weekend. Any event that's going on American television wrestling, we've got you covered for. So hang out with us all weekend. Subscribe to this channel as well. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We're out of here.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.